Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Infendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 317. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight we have Holly Fulmer.
Hi, everybody.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, everybody.
We have a slimmed-down version of Infendo Radio for you tonight. We're going to start off with Nintendo news and finally finish with community comments. However, before we jump into our Nintendo news, there's a announcement I want to make on the show itself. Now, we haven't actually discussed this during the recordings, although it has been mentioned on the site. However, the last three shows have not been edited by myself, but have been by Holly Fulmer on the show. And I wanted to congratulate Holly on her fantastic editing work behind the scenes.
Thanks, I guess.
No, it's you've done an absolutely outstanding job. Absolutely. And to go alongside the editing duties, I offered Holly the role of hosting the show going forwards to go alongside these editing duties. And after some thought and consideration, Holly has taken up the chance. And after this show, Holly will become the main host. And so this makes this episode my final hosting duties for Infendo Radio. However, I will not be leaving the show. I will be here on a regular basis as a regular co-host. I wanted to make that announcement before we get into our normal segments this week.
Well, Lewis, you've been a very fantastic host. And I feel, I mean, I've told you this before, but I feel like I'm almost like usurping your authority or something here. But I just got in some discussions with some certain people and they convinced me. I'm just way too convincible, I guess. But I just hope I can, you know, live up to your standards. You've done a fantastic job.
Well, now you've done a fantastic job editing, and you have hosted shows before, so we know you're a very good host. And yeah, I think it's going to add a really cool dynamic to the show going forward. So I'm personally looking forward to having you host and kind of taking a little step back, and so I can just, again, not host, I guess, and just take the other part of the show as a co-host. However, we jump into now our first segment of Nintendo News. And the first bullet point we have here is a review of Poker Dice Solitaire. And so this review was done by yourself, Holly.
Yeah. Do you want me to talk a little bit about the game?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, if you could just let us know, in summary, what your thoughts were of the game.
Well, you can always check out the, you know, full review on Infendo or whatever. But just in general, I think that it's actually quite a different game. I don't think that there's anything quite like it that you can get for the Wii U at this point. And so I think that for, you know, like $2, I mean, it's not out in Europe yet, so I don't know what the price point there would be. But, you know, for just $2 here in the United States, it's actually a pretty good game to just expand your game library. And I think it's actually really suited to off-TV play because it's all done with the touchpad, so you're not really looking at the TV much anyways. So, yeah, it's just, it's a good game for those, you know, quick play sessions that you want to do, and you know, if someone else is on the TV and you have nothing else to do, you can pull up this game, and it's actually quite fun. And I definitely recommend it for just $2.
So I just want to check one small fact. I mean, because we haven't received the game yet in Europe, is this a single player experience only?
Yes,
it is. Okay.
I mean, other people obviously can, you know, watch you play and give you advice and stuff because, you know, it doesn't have that kind of poker element where you're taking risks or not taking risks. And so there's that element to it. But really, yeah, it's just kind of made for one player.
I see. But now I'm getting what you're saying now. So it makes a good kind of off-TV couch experience. So you can kind of play a game of poker, as it were, while you're watching the TV.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we'll move on now. So the next piece of news we have is, in fact, related to Shovel Knight, another eShop game which unfortunately hasn't come to Europe yet. But this is around its soundtrack. So again, this is a story you posted, Holly. And it's all about how basically the soundtrack is available online, and they've gone with the pay-what-you-want model. So I think that technically includes a free tier. But I guess the spirit of this is, you know, if you feel it's worth your time and effort to kind of hunt this down, you know, throw them some money for the hard work they've put in towards this.
Yeah, it's a soundtrack by Jake Kaufman, who I think is getting to be pretty well known. And there's at least a couple of soundtracks that I could name right now of his that I really have enjoyed. So he's fantastic. And it's all chiptunes. So if you're a chiptunes fan, this is just like can't miss, and it's free. And so take advantage of it. And yeah, it's like Lewis says, if you want to pay, it's well worth, you know, like $10. Just throw $10. That's what you'd pay for, you know, like a normal sound, or I'd say soundtrack, but also just album of any kind. And this is well worth it for sure.
Yeah, Jake Kaufman's well known in the remixing like area. And yeah, he always does amazing soundtracks, and I'm looking forward to listening to this because I'm a big fan of his stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I actually did pick this up, and I did spend some money on this. Funny you should say, I actually put $10 towards it. I'm just thinking why it was dollars now. But I'm pretty sure it was $10, and I started listening to the soundtrack, and it's really good. It's awesome chiptune stuff. And now the most stupidest thing came across me. I was like, I want to stop listening to this. And I want to actually just, you know, play some of this first. So despite spending money on this and having listened to probably this quite a big soundtrack, actually, so I think I listened to about five of the first five or so. I was like, I'm really looking forward to Shovel Knight, so I might just play it first and then go back to the rest of the soundtrack, because I feel I'm almost missing something not having played it first. And I think what's really great about listening to like game soundtracks, especially like chiptune soundtracks, is that you just kind of relate what you were doing in the game at the time, even if it's like on a subconscious level, when you're hearing certain pieces of music. And so I don't have that kind of visual piece for it yet. So it's going to sit on my hard drive for a little longer until I finally get to play Shovel Knight, which I'm very eager to do.
So when does it come out in Europe?
I don't think they've officially said. I mean, it's popped up on Nintendo of Europe's site as a official game, which is coming soon. So hopefully that means soon. But yeah, we don't know yet.
Huh. I bought the game actually thanks to the soundtrack. I was weird and just like listened to the soundtrack. I just thought like, oh, Jake Kaufman and, you know, Shovel Knight looks like a good game and I'll probably eventually get it. But first I'm going to listen to this music because I just love music. So I listened to the soundtrack and I literally like could not resist. Maybe I could if I had serious self-discipline. I could not resist buying the game. So I have the game. I've only actually gotten through the first level. But it's a very good game so far. So yeah, good game, good soundtrack. Go for it.
I mean,
sounds good.
I will put out there that technically the game is available on Steam worldwide. So if you are in a similar position and you have a Steam account, there's nothing stopping you from downloading Shovel Knight anywhere around the world on your PC and plugging up a controller to play with it. And I'm sure that's a good alternative option if you don't have a Nintendo system, which is available for yet. And talking about games which aren't becoming available, we have Dragon Quest X, which has been announced for another console. It's already on the Wii and the Wii U, and I believe PCs in Japan. And it's also coming out to the 3DS via the magical technology of streaming, which is very bizarre. I believe you kind of buy the game as you would a regular copy, and then you get the subscription on top. But essentially, the game is being streamed to you, obviously, from some servers in Japan. And so the graphics are a lot better than a regular 3DS title. It just looks like the Wii U game, just a little bit smaller. And this just gives Japanese consumers one more device they can get their Dragon Quest action on.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Gaikai way of doing things. It's odd how it's come so long after the PC version. I'm guessing because they needed to get the technology right, you know, the methods and all that. But yeah, it's I never saw this coming for 3DS, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
So, I mean, it just makes me even more disappointed that we don't have Dragon Quest X. Or, like, it's missed another opportunity to come over. It's like, it could have come over on the new 3DS version, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I really doubt it at this point.
We're not going to get Dragon Quest X.
Nah. But it does bring up the very interesting point of how Square Enix is basically streaming a HD game to a 3DS and selling it as a retail release.
Well, it shows that it's possible.
Exactly. So could they possibly do this with, say, Shock Horror, something like Final Fantasy 15? I mean, if it's streaming, why not? If it's an RPG, it should be fairly easy to control. If yeah. they've built up this infrastructure, I think it could be something very interesting to watch.
Is that a Japan-only thing, this like streaming thing? Does that make it even more unlikely that it'll come here?
There are different kind of different technologies or different organizations which do the same sort of thing. And Sony is basically doing a service where it's in beta currently, where you can stream kind of old PlayStation games on the PS4. But this is the first we've heard that kind of Square Enix is kind of doing it all in-house. So in theory, there's no reason why they couldn't also do this around the world. But that, again, that does bring up more complications. I mean, if it's Japan only, then at least they only have to have an infrastructure to suit for Japan. If they release it worldwide, then they need an infrastructure to support it worldwide.
Yeah.
But it, again, it's completely possible. And the fact that it's gone out to retail, I think, yeah, I mean, even if these things stay in Japan, I think it would be interesting if they did release, like, the next HD game also on the 3DS or on whatever the hot port was at the time, just because they sell so well in Japan. I think we're almost at this point where, like, the games are universal across portables and home consoles. I know a lot of people have kind of had these kind of grand visions of a one system which would play all games, and you could plug it up to a TV or you could take it on the go. And, yeah. You know, it looks like we're almost there. We're getting this in little chunks.
Yeah, everyone wants that one game box thing that does everything. And then, yeah, that's far off, I think.
This is true. Way far off. But it's nice to see these things come to fruition.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. It shows that they're willing to experiment with this idea. And if it works, like I say, we won't be getting, but Japan could be getting, you know, Final Fantasy 15. That'd be cool. That'd be really good.
Okay. I mean, the next piece of news here is going to be a bit of an old for the listeners, because the show does go through an editing process, which, as quick as Holly could be about this, I don't think it will be out before tomorrow morning, or before Monday morning, I should say, where there's going to be a new Smash Bros. Character reveal. And I think this is the first time they've explicitly said they're going to reveal a character on said day and time. And apparently that's all it's going to be. It's not a Smash Bros. Show. They're going to just stream the character reveal. It's going to be on Monday at 7 a.m. PT. Again, you've probably already found out what this character is. But I thought it would be interesting to mention it, just so we could all very quickly... we're not going to make a feature out of this at all. But we could all have a very silly guess of what this new character could be. I'm going to, you know, try and buy some time and go last. who wants to have a shout? Who thinks what's going to be revealed?
Okay, I'll go first. Now, what I want, it'd be cool if it'd be another third-party character.
Okay.
That's not going to happen now. It's too late for that. That would have been an E3 thing. But what I would have wanted was Simon Belmont.
Oh, okay.
Some Castlevania representation. That would be amazing. But, I mean, the chat going around is it's going to be Shulk from Xenoblade Chronicles, because Monolith Soft retweeted the announcement. But I think it might be like another Namco character.
Okay. They do have some fighting series, so I guess it would make some sense.
That's where I was going. It's like, they're making a fighting game. They're going to want one of their fighters in the game. But I can't see it working, but I got a feeling it'd be like Jin from Tekken or something like that.
Yeah, it would make more sense than Solid Snake in my book. Not that I think he's a bad character, but in terms of thinking of someone to chuck in a fighting game.
Yeah. we'll have the stealth guy. You know, yeah.
The guy who tries to avoid combat at all opportunities.
We'll stick him in a fighting game. Yeah.
Okay. So possibly someone from Tekken, you reckon?
I reckon.
Okay. And how about yourself, Holly?
Well, I think that it probably will be Shulk, because I just keep thinking about it. And why else would Monolith Soft retweet this? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's like something to throw us off the scent. Like, Monolith Soft's like, we're going to retweet this and make everyone think that it's Shulk. I don't know. But actually, I posted this on the post on Infendo, but I think it could possibly be an entirely different character from Shulk from Xenoblade Chronicles or even Xenoblade Chronicles X, possibly. That would be kind of cool. But my dream would be, and this was all Harrison's idea, and ever since he mentioned it, I've just been really, really, really fond of it. I'll just say that. Wonder Red from The Wonderful 101. I think that that would be a really great character to have in Super Smash Bros. And it seems fairly likely. So that would be, yeah, my dream. But yeah, I'm thinking it's fairly possible it's Shulk. But we shall see.
So what if we get Bayonetta instead?
That's another thing I mentioned to Harrison. Like, maybe, I mean, who knows? I think it's slightly possible, at least, that
I think
Bayonetta...
it's equally as possible as one of the Red thinking about the just the two directors involved. I think they would both find making Bayonetta fit in Smash Bros. Just wonderfully bizarre, and that being enough of a reason to put her in.
She would be such a cool fighter.
But it would also be like a troll move, which we know Sakurai loves. So there's a possibility there. Just to put a little damper on the situation, I don't think we can rule out returning characters as being new characters for Smash Bros. Or Wii or 3DS.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I'll do two picks. One's going to be a returning character, which is going to be Captain Falcon. Reason being is, well, he's been in all the Smash games, hasn't he?
Yep, he was a secret character in the first one.
Yeah, he was in the original. I mean, he definitely has a fan following. He's just, like, oddly charismatic and weird, and how could you not have a Smash Bros. Without a Falcon Punch? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
So I think they might do some really wacky, comedical intro for Captain Falcon, and it probably, if they do it for him, it would probably be a very trolly video where it's looking like it's going to be something else. So yeah, I'm going to say that for a returning character. And as for a new character, I didn't actually have one at hand. I mean, I was going to say a Xenoblade character.
Rhyne.
Oh, Rhyne?
I think he'd actually make a pretty good character in Smash Bros.
That would be pretty cool.
Him or Sharla? I think Sharla's fairly likely. I still think they need to add a couple more female characters to the roster.
Yeah, they've you know, made a good effort, but there's definitely more they can do to kind of equal the balance there.
Well, what about the end of the Palutena reveal, the little trailer we got for that?
Oh, for Dark Pit. I still think Dark Pit is going to be a stage hazard.
Maybe that would be like an alternate costume.
True.
Yeah, either one of those seems a lot more likely than him as a playable character to
me.
Yeah, because his moveset can't be that much different.
Yeah, no, I do think we're going to lose some of the clones in this game.
Yeah, even his voice actor is the same as, because, you know, in Kid Icarus Uprising, it's the same voice actor doing Pit and Dark Pit, so they wouldn't have to, you know, get a new voice actor to, you know, voice act for the costume of Pit that is Dark Pit. And yeah, I don't know if that makes any sense, but... So, yeah, costume is probably the most likely thing to me. Stage hazard, that's a good idea, too, though. I like that, too.
Yeah. All right, I finally decided for my new character. And it's actually similar to Colin's, but instead of a Tekken character, it's going to be a character from Soul Calibur.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to pinpoint any particular one for this suggestion, but I reckon a Soul Calibur person could join Smash. I mean, it would make sense. They use weapons... which is not uncommon in Smash Bros. At all. So, I think an extra Namco character could squeeze in.
Before this game. And Link was in Soul Calibur 2.
This is true.
Like a little nudge. Oh yeah, we're gonna get you back. You know.
Yeah, they could set it up as a new like Zelda series character reveal, and then it turns into the Soul Calibur crossover.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last piece of Nintendo news we have on our list here. Is our most recent post on the site, which is my second post of impressions from the post-E3 Nintendo event in London. And so I'm stretching these out purely so we can get, you know, more content during the quieter times post-E3, which is always a known thing in the industry. And so this second update of post-E3 goodness covers Project Giant Robot, Mario Maker, and Yoshi's Woolly World. So, if you're interested in any of those games, Do check out the post. If you've got any questions about them in particular, you know, chuck your comments below and I'll let you know and try and answer your questions as best I can.
The pictures look cool. I haven't actually read the post yet, which, you know, I'm planning on doing that because I'm really interested in, you know, hearing your impressions. But at the very least, the pictures look very, very cool.
Okay.
And I'm very jealous as well. Have I told you that yet?
I'd say you should be. But yeah, there was actually strict guidelines in what you could take screenshots of, or I guess pictures of. And so, yeah, you do have to show, I'm saying this now, I'm just making, just thinking in my head, have I followed this? What were the pictures I've uploaded to the site? What you're meant to show, at least, is kind of over-the-shoulder shots showing the TV and the gamepads. I think I have uploaded the gamepad-only pic, but I think that's okay as long as hands are in place, was the rule. So as long as you're not just taking a picture of the gamepad screen and it could be confused as a regular TV screen or something else, that's a no-no.
Yeah. As a little, like, announcement for me, my impressions are still coming, but I haven't been 100% recently, so yeah, they are still coming. I haven't stopped. Yeah, anyone listening? So yeah, Pirate Wars will be the next one I'll be doing, so keep an eye out for that.
Awesome.
I also want some in-depth impressions on Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. I've been getting back into Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate lately, and man, I am dang excited for Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, even if it's not coming to the Wii U. I have a Circle Pad Pro, so I feel like I'm just set. I'm ready to go for Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate.
Well, that's after Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, jeez.
That's coming.
You won't switch them around for me.
Well, I'm still writing it.
Okay, I can be patient.
Yeah, no, I am thinking about picking up a Circle Pad Pro. And it will be this game, which kind of breaks me on that stance. I mean, I play through Resident Evil Revelations without it, even though I suggested not to. And obviously for the last Monster Hunter, I had the opportunity to play it on the Wii U. But knowing that this game is only coming to the 3DS, I think I'm going to need that second circle pad.
It's actually very comfortable.
As a little aside, Monster Hunter 4 works wonderfully well without a Circle Pad Pro. So, yeah, it's really cool.
I'm not very used to using the lock-on system in Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, and... So, I don't know. I mean, I watched the demo that Nintendo Treehouse Live at E3 did on Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, and I noticed that the way they were, you know, using the camera was, you know, lock-on. And that's something I'm not super familiar with, so...
That's how I played 3 Ultimate, was that lock-on saves your life. But that was because I only have a 3DS, so... I imagine on the Wii U with the second stick, it's less of a priority. You just, you know, naturally go to the stick to rotate the camera around.
That's right, yeah.
On the 3DS, less buttons.
Yeah, so. Having the kind of the options of playing on both. I mean, I always go to the Wii just because that gamepad is a lot more comfortable, especially if you're going to be playing for a long session, which is often the case with Monster Hunter. And so I feel going from that to the 3DS, if I've like taken it around the rare occasion I've taken it around a friend's house to play Monster Hunter, I feel my hands get very cramped very easily playing that game. But it might just be because I'm used to playing it with a different controller.
Yeah, there's quite a few people I spoke to who are really disappointed that it's not going to Wii U. So they said, I'm not buying it. As like a form of protest. And I'm like, that's not going to achieve anything. But
yeah, support whatever. The 3DS game and maybe we will get a Wii U port.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way we should be thinking about it. But
yeah, and maybe they'll keep releasing them over here instead of keeping them in Japan.
Exactly.
Okay, we come to the end of our news posts, which have come from the website, but we do actually have a breaking news piece, which is technically exclusive, I believe, world exclusive. And this is a new game announcement, which is, as you could probably guess, it's some type of indie collaboration between myself, and it's with RC Madiak, who is the creator of games such as Polka Dice Solitaire Future and Drop Block U. And the game we're working together on is a game called Block Drop Cross Twisted Fusion. And it's a very bizarre mishmash of game styles. You essentially are playing Block Drop U in the Twisted World, and there are enemies, and you're not saving a block, you are saving a creature from the Twisted Universe called Gogo. And basically, the control methods are the same. You can tap blocks to destroy them, and you have to guide this little creature this time, instead of a block, down to safety but you also have to destroy all the enemies in an environment before you can move on. And the way you destroy enemies is simply through gravity. And so you have to destroy blocks in a way that other blocks tumble upon the enemies, which are mostly made out of slimes, which makes the squishing all the more satisfying. And so it's going to take a kind of a similar design methods that it's going to be 30 stages on launch day, potentially with more to come as free DLC. But it's going to be released as its own separate game at budget price. And it's essentially I'm making the game on top of what RC Madiac has already done. And it's a really cool and fun project to work on. And so there's very little programming I've had to do on my side beyond the new monster squishing mechanics I've added in. And so I'm just having fun kind of just designing these new puzzles, which is pretty awesome. And yeah. This is a game which is actually kind of this real rapid development cycle. And it should be out in... it's definitely out this year. And if all goes well, it will be out, I believe, in September or October. Most likely October. But yeah, I mean, it's just pretty cool. And it's been awesome working with him. And he's actually been helping me out on my own game, Twisted Fusion, in terms of just... I guess, general kind of Wii U developer questions. Obviously, being both authorized Wii U developers, we can kind of safely and securely share some information and kind of help each other out. So it's been really cool working on this new cross project, and it's cool to announce it on this show.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm really excited for this.
Lewis, your workload is going to get out of hand soon.
Exactly, and yeah, that goes hand in hand with me kind of relieving my hosting and editing duties of this show. It is no coincidence. But you know, I will say, I mean, I am, because obviously Droplock U actually only came out recently over here.
Yeah.
So obviously I've played it and I have completed it. And as cool as the game is, I do feel it's cool. I saw there's the opportunity to kind of do just a remix on it. I feel it's kind of a really cool raw concept, which you can do a lot of stuff with. And it's surprising how well this, adding this one extra thing, which is that you have to destroy these other things, which are monsters in this, by getting the blocks to tumble upon them, as well as saving this other thing. You have to do both. So you've got to kind of be half destructive and half protective at the same time. And it just makes tapping blocks all the more fun.
It's an interesting concept. It is.
It is. I'm not sure of any game like it, to be fair.
Yeah.
And we move on now from the Nintendo news onto our community comments, where you, the listeners, have been entering questions, or comments, as they were, to us through various methods. The first comment we have is from Earl Rufus from Twitter, who says, "For our good friend at CetaImac, ask your co-host to rank these Mario games and why." And so this comes from a Twitter conversation, which I kind of joined in earlier today, and for research purposes at SETAIMX is trying to find out which Mario games people prefer out of these three, which are Mario Bros. 3, Mario World, and Mario 64. And so I've technically already given my list, although I will say it on the show, but for Colin and Holly, which or how would you rank these in order to, from 1 to 3?
So we're not going to get your list until we're done giving ours, is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to go last, because mine's set. It's technically public record at this point. I can't change it, but I will say what it is after you guys have said yours.
I'm on my way to Twitter right now.
Holly, do you want to go first?
Sure. I was spending a little bit of time thinking about it before we started recording the show, and it's super hard, but super hard for, you know, Super Mario. But I think I would put Super Mario World at number one for sure. I think that's mostly because I loved it when I was little, and I still love it now. I mean, it's just such a timeless game. It's unbelievably timeless. And so I would have to put that at my number one for sure. But I'm just not sure how to rate those other two. There are, I don't know, have you mentioned the games yet, Lewis?
Oh, no, yeah, I have mentioned them. The three games in question are Super Mario Bros. 3, Super Mario World, and Super Mario 64.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to decide how to rank Mario 64 and Super Mario Bros. 3. Oh, it's just too hard. It's too hard. I might just put Mario 64 next and then Super Mario Bros. 3 last. I don't know. That might be blasphemy to some people, but I don't know. It's just kind of, it's probably just my history mostly that causes me to pick that order.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly tricky question because they're all incredible games. However, Colin, how would you rank them?
Now, this is purely objective. This is the thing. I have more of a connection to Super Mario 64 than the other two. However, so up Super Mario 64, number one. The creativity in that game is amazing. The fact that Mario could run in a circle just blew my mind, really. Then I would say Mario World, just for... It was one of the first side-scrolling platformers I actually played. And I played Super Mario Bros. 3 sort of retroly. So I don't have as much connection to that game. So yeah, for me it's 64 first, then World, then Mario Bros. 3. Yeah.
I think Super Mario World is probably the best side-scrolling Mario game, period. Possibly the best side-scrolling platformer ever, wow. In my opinion. That's just me. Yeah. It's just too good. Way too good.
Okay, so I guess that it falls onto my time. And my ranking is as they're written, which is first Mario Bros. 3, second Mario World, and third Mario 64. So kind of ranked as they were released, essentially. And I guess I tried not to think about the reasoning why beforehand too much. Just took my gut instincts, what I thought were the best. But thinking back on it, I think it's because each game kind of borrows ideas from the previous one. But I think so much was in Mario Bros. 3 in terms of, you know, the world design, which Mario World had, like Bros. 3 technically did that first. It had an awesome array of, you know, super abilities and just a huge amount of different locations and secrets and all that. And I think, like, the reason why Mario 64 is kind of last on that list out of those three is I think as good as that was as a 3D platformer and how it kind of almost, or as it did, I guess, define the kind of the 3D industry, yeah. I think there have been better 3D Mario games since. I reckon they've improved that concept since. But I don't think those two 2D games there are the best 2D Mario games. Those have not been improved, in my opinion. From Nintendo since. And that's kind of how I got into the order that they are. I mean, but again, it's really hard. It's almost like having a psychiatry test, depending on, you know, which ones you choose. But yeah, you can go no wrong with this. But it's an interesting one to ask people where they would rank their favorite Mario games.
Yeah, Mario 64 admittedly hasn't aged that well. It's like you say, 3D Mario has just, I don't know, progressed in leaps and bounds since Super Mario 64. So, but you know, it was just so, you know, industry shaping, like you guys have said. That's probably why I would put it at number two. And I probably put Mario, Super Mario World at number one because mostly I kind of grew up on that game. It was like my bread and butter game growing up, really. But also, I think, I mean, it just perfected everything side-scrolling Mario-wise, so. I don't know. Just some more, I guess, explaining my choices there.
I am fearful that we're going to get questions next time. You know, what are your favourite Zelda games? What are your favourite Metroids? What are your...
Well, that's easy.
We now move on to our next question, which is from Spencer Shoemaker, who takes his question in from Twitter. He asks, how about a calm reaction to the Project Cars treating Wii U poorly? I've heard rants, but not a devil's advocate. Now, I've got a bit of context here.
Right.
Today was announced that the Wii U version of Project Cars is being pushed back till next year. In a similar move to what's happened to Watch Dogs, but I don't think the delay is going to be as great. But the, you know, the Xbox One, PS4 versions or ship in November. And the Wii U has slipped to a 2015 release date. And I think the reason why this is a bit of a sore point for some Nintendo gamers is that I'm trying to think of the company's name. I think it's Slightly Mad. Is the name of the developer, and they actually put a poll initially about which platform you would like to play Project Cars on, and the Wii won by a landslide originally. It really got, you know, Nintendo fan base at the right time with the right message, and they were really excited about this. So it's a real shame to see it slip back. But going over to his question here, he asks, how about a calm reaction? Now, I really appreciate the question. But we can't promise a calm reaction, but we'll have a discussion. So, what do we think of this news? So I guess, one, were we following Project Cars? Were we excited for it? If we were we going to pick it up on the Wii U?
The only thing I would say about this is becoming a trend, which is worrying, about third-party titles, but it's just the Wii U version that gets delayed. And it's really, I think that's what's hurting the Wii U sales more than anything. It's because people go, I'll just buy it for the other platform. And then when the game comes out, oh, very good. You know, I think that's a big problem. And I'm not quite sure why that keeps happening. Because Watch Dogs was the big example. Because everyone was like, Watch Dogs for the Wii U could be amazing. But now, we're not going to see it for quite a while. And I'm hoping that they are, doing extra tweaks to the games, make it, different, sort of, in a way, you know, to actually make it worth the wait.
Making some, decent efforts for the second screen on the gamepad and the other unique abilities of the Wii U.
I hope that, because say someone's got the PS4 version, the Wii U one's going to come out, if it's just exactly the same, they're just going to completely ignore it and think, well, it's not worth my time.
Yeah, well, we definitely haven't heard anything which would suggest people would double dip. Maybe the extra time would be able to, let them afford that opportunity. Maybe they will be able to put some extra bells and whistles in this version. However, they haven't mentioned as such, so I think we should expect at least to this be basically the same version the other people are getting until we hear otherwise.
Yeah.
Now, it's a bit of a vicious circle, this, really. You mentioned that part of the reason Wii's having bad sales is because, game companies are delaying their games or pulling back the games. But there's obviously some sort of business reasoning behind this, as boring as it is.
Yeah.
Because obviously these companies want to make money. They're not really in it for just supporting a fan base, for any particular reason. They want to, at least the publisher who sees it, wants to get a return on their investment. And I think what they're looking at is, despite technically the Wii U having more consoles out there than the Xbox One currently, I think they see it as a kind of a long-term investment that they can see kind of the sort of numbers PS4 and Xbox One are pushing currently. They have some momentum going currently where they're going to be in a certain position in 6 months or in 12 months. And they're looking at the Wii U with its, admittedly peaked up sales currently, but going back a couple of months, fairly flat sales. It doesn't look like the Wii U's going to, skyrocket anytime soon. And they're thinking, we can essentially make a version of the game which will basically run on both the Xbox One and the PS4. The Wii U version is a bit different, not only because of the two screens and the other bits and bobs, but on a technical point of view, it runs very different type of hardware compared to the other two consoles. And so they have to make a different version for it. So does it not make more sense to make this one master version which goes for both Xbox One and PS4? Although they don't have a huge amount of consoles out currently, they can get the support of that fan base and then they'll buy their next game and there'll be a sort of a positive circle of support. But it doesn't seem to make a huge amount of sense pouring money into the Wii U because it doesn't have that momentum. It lost it. And because it takes additional effort to make that version opposed to it being as easy as the other games, I think it's why. It's odd how it's getting delayed, though. I don't really understand this. You would feel it would just not be a supported SKU going forwards.
Yeah.
I don't get why. What's happened to make there not be enough resources now to finish the Wii U version on time? I don't get that behind the scenes.
No, well, it was a bit like Aliens Colonial Marines. Sega was saying the Wii U version is going to be the definitive edition. The trailers they were showing were of a PC build that could run on Wii U. And of course, the game that came out for PS3 and Xbox 360 wasn't very good. It was kind of like a rushed version of it. And then, so, because it didn't sell, they cancelled the Wii U version. And I don't want that to like happen again with... I mean, Watch Dogs is safe because that sold millions of copies. But, yeah, I don't want it to be like, oh, we're going to test the water with these two versions. And then, oh, we'll do the Wii U one later on.
Do you think there's a chance that they can add something like Director's Cut to the Wii U edition? Or, you know, just something additional to the title that differentiates it from the other two? I don't know about this type of stuff, but...
That would make perfect sense, because then that would make it a viable reason to go and purchase it. Or, I'm going to wait for this one, because it's got this certain extra feature, which the others don't have.
Yeah.
It's going to cost them more to do that, and they're not going to, you know... If the install base isn't there, then I don't know.
Yeah, it's a real shame, this one, because we've seen previously the developer seems to really like Nintendo, seems to really like the Wii U. They've been out there giving it positive support and saying, you know, yes, you can run really graphically intense games on this system. Why isn't anyone else doing it, essentially?
That's right, yeah.
And it's not a type of game we're getting from anywhere else. And again, because we've been hearing these things from the developer, and just because of the way the business works, this decision didn't come from them. This was obviously from the publisher.
Absolutely, yeah. Bandai Namco publishing this game?
It is, actually. So for whatever reason, I mean, and I know often at times gamers can kind of be easily, swayed in their purchase decisions. I don't think you should not buy this game if you were intending to buy it, purely because it's been delayed on the Wii U. It's not a sign that they have any sort of lack of faith on the Wii U itself. I think that, you know, developers think the Wii U version is going to be as cool as they did originally. And so, you know, the worst thing that can happen is then, you know, the Nintendo game is pulled out and then the Wii U version sells terribly and then the publisher looks at it and goes, well, okay, we've made the right call there.
Yeah.
But again, it has this unique selling point in terms of it's a really, you know, good-looking, it's a realistic sim car game. And again, yeah, no one else is doing it on the Wii. So if you like that, then you should pick it up when it comes out because it does look fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a real positive thing. And yeah, the game looks absolutely fantastic. I'm looking forward for it to come out on the Wii U. The only issue is... I guess it happens with a lot of third-party races. I think the audience for this game possibly or also owns one of the other devices.
That is the issue.
There's an overlap. And it, when you have an overlap, then does the uniqueness of the Wii U make this version better than probably having better graphics on the other version, as slight as it may be?
Mm.
It's hard to call. So I hope they do show some really cool uses for the gamepad, essentially.
I think this has got a lot more of a promising future, Project Cars, for Wii U. Whereas Watch Dogs, you get the feeling that Ubisoft is literally just holding it back until the install base reaches a certain point, and they're going to release Watch Dogs, as well as this other game they have in development, which is complete, but they're going to release it until...
Yeah, and Watch Dogs is another thing, because I hope that game gets a subtitle, like a tagline, because...
Yeah, yeah.
The default controller has a touchscreen on it, which is the main thing you use in the game. I mean, they should make that a big selling point, make it a director's cut or a...
Hacker's edition.
Or whatever they need to do. Because that could be the best version of that game, honestly, despite there being graphical improvements elsewhere.
Yeah.
If they do a smart use for that, that will just make sense in that game, which is the perfect thing we should be getting on the Wii U. So hopefully that is part of the reason that game did get delayed. Perhaps they did have some interesting ideas for it, but they went, we're not going to get this done on time. Is there a point delaying it a month? Let's do a full hog and make this really awesome. But we'll see when we get further details out on that. But, you know, Nintendo has still been talking about Watch Dogs since, so it definitely is still a thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it is... Obviously, it's not great to see these games get delayed on the Wii U, but there's worse things out there. And if these are games you're looking forward to, this is the point I'm going to go back to. I don't think you should lose faith yourself. You should still be excited for these games. And, pick them up when they come out. Support the developers who are making these cool games. And we have our final community comment here, which is from John from Miiverse, who is technically our old rival from the Nintendo show. John says, Nintendo has been pretty quiet on the 3DS recently, with not much shown at E3 for anything beyond 2014. Are we due for a 3DS Nintendo Direct? Or is the Wii U absorbing most of their development resources? Or could new hardware be coming? There's a lot of questions here.
Well, my first thought on that is that I really doubt that new hardware is coming. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just me, I guess.
Well, what could they call it? The 3DS, the 3DS i, XL, Lite, whatever. The only hardware revision they could do is built in the second circuit pad, which they won't do. It's too far down the line for that.
So yeah, I think that's a different... I think we will see another edition of the 3DS, but I don't think we're coming up to the next handheld console. I think they might try and ride out the 3DS for a little while, and I think they might try and sync it up with the next console, but we might go off on a tangent if we talk about that. In terms of why it's been quiet, I mean, I reckon part of it is due to pulling resources to Wii U projects, and I think they're banking on a couple of really big releases, which are, Pokemon in the winter, and obviously we're also getting Smash Bros. Now, it's not a huge amount of games, but they are absolutely huge releases, and so I think they're hoping that with those kind of in the bank, as it were, they don't have to worry out too much about having a constant flow of games, because they kind of, they are on a roll in terms of the eShop. There's loads of indie games, and the virtual console is kind of adding up nicely at this point. And there's a big back catalogue, and there are these quirky releases like Tamagotchi Life, and I think they're banking those bigger releases. And those other resources have been pulled off to do some of the Wii U stuff we've seen and to maybe accelerate some of their progress. But I don't think it's because there's a kind of a new machine waiting around the corner, which they've kind of banked up a load of games for.
You know what I'm really excited for that's coming to the 3DS that no one seems to be talking about? Fantasy Life.
Of course.
I'm super excited for that, actually. It's from Level 5, so the developers of Professor Layton. Right? Oh my gosh. I just had a brain freeze right there, but that is right. Okay. So Fantasy Life, it's like an RPG, and it looks like it's probably going to suck a lot of time out of my schedule once it comes out. So that's one of those underrated, under-talked about 3DS games that's on the way. So there's that. But he actually says there was not much shown at E3 for anything beyond 2014. So I don't know. When's Project Steam coming out? Probably 2015. Also, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, that's a 2015 release.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, the 3DS isn't, doing too bad in terms of its future, I guess. But I do think it's actually likely that we might get a Nintendo Direct focusing on 3DS games soon-ish. So, those are my thoughts.
Well, we did have that Direct recently, which was the Japan-focused one, which was...
I was going to mention that, yes.
And that was exclusively about 3DS software. Admittedly, beyond Monster Hunter, there's no guarantees that any of that stuff's coming out over the West, although the new Final Fantasy Explorers does look pretty cool. So, if some of those titles do come out, then, that's a couple of extra games on the list. But, I'm looking at the date now. 3DS was released early 2011, February 2011. It was in Japan, and Nintendo is odd with their portable releases. The GBA had a ridiculously small life. It was only out for about 3 and a bit years, I believe, before it was surpassed by the DS.
Well, I see. The trouble with the GBA was they were trying to recreate the Super Nintendo era, but it just got a lot of ports and remakes.
I think the real problem they had was that Sony came onto the scene.
That's true. Yeah, they must the PSP, yeah.
Yeah, they must have heard that was in development, and they realized the GBA was not going to stack up against this machine they were making, exactly. Which was running, like, in quotes, you know, console-like quality games at the time.
I mean, to be fair, the old DS still didn't quite, you know, replicate, because the PSP could almost do a PS2-style graphics. A DS was more like a PS1.
True. That's a step up from the SNES, though.
It was. Absolutely. It could be a lot. But the thing that sold the DS was its usability. It had a touchscreen, which at the time was like, oh my god, you know, it has a touchscreen. You can actually touch the screen and it does stuff. I mean, that's what Nintendo's always based their stuff on, their hardware on. And that's why, you know, the DS eventually... Well, I would say eventually, it completely dominated the handheld market for ages. So, I can't see any new hardware or anything being announced soon.
Nah, I think we'll get...
I don't think that's a priority for them at the moment.
Possibly a new revision, end of the year or beginning of next year. But it won't be a replacement. It will be like the DSi was. Something just to pull in some extra revenue. It's good to have, you know, new physical stuff on the shelves.
Well, they've had two revisions so far.
Exactly, and, like, the DS had quite a few. Obviously, it had the regular, then it had the Lite, then it had the I, then it had the XL.
The iXL.
Yeah, so that's four different revisions. And that's without all the different colours and all the different SKUs which came with games and such. Which, not that the 3DS has been shying from, but I think I think they'll probably either replace the standard 3DS with just a bit more of a modern take on it, maybe keep the screen sizes the same but make the rest of the system smaller, or maybe a different 2DS with a hinge, or I don't know. I think there's something else they can do there, but I don't think we're due for a full-on revision soon. I reckon they will try and sync that with the next console, so probably about 2 years' time would be my stab in the dark.
Well, see, I was thinking, the only hardware announcement we're going to get is this quality of life platform.
Okay.
As if it is hardware.
That's true. We've not heard of that since.
I mean, and see, they said, at E3 we might speak about it, but they didn't mention anything about it. They got real quiet on this.
Yeah, and I guess that would technically be taking resources. It's not traditional, but...
No, but it must take up some of their staff to go, you know, you work on that while we do this. But, yeah, and to be fair, the Wii U is in a bit more of a dire situation than what the 3DS is.
Yeah, no, the 3DS is in a good position, I would say.
It's got plenty of high-end software on it, so...
And I think I kind of forgot about this until like a minute ago, but as far as games beyond 2014 go, there's also the Super Mario Galaxy team working on a new Mario game for 3DS, so... I think, you know, the games are coming. You just got to kind of think about them. So,
yeah,
I pretty much agree with you guys. It's going to be another couple of years at least before we get another, or, you know, a brand new handheld.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think part of the problem here was purely kind of the showing for E3. I think Nintendo just wanted to focus on the Wii U. So where they would have usually kind of introduced their portable releases at that time, I think they're holding them back for another time. They wanted the spotlight to be on Wii U, and they can let us know about these 3DS releases during Nintendo Directs and so on when the time's right in the future.
They just want to get the Wii U ball rolling again and get up to speed.
Okay, and that's gonna do it for the community comments, and with that, the show itself. As always, you can send in your own comments for us to read out on the show to tips@infendo.com. Alternatively, if you're listening to this in your browser, you can scroll down and add a comment in the comment box below. Alternatively, you can also hit us on our Twitter handles and our Miiverse accounts. And for myself, my Twitter handle is @Luvsion, which is spelled LEUVSION. And my Miiverse account is the same. The same spelling, but obviously without the @. And yourself, Holly?
You started with Twitter. Okay. My Twitter handle is just my name, basically. @HollyFelmyth. That's just spelled HOLLY and then F E @LLMETH. So that's Twitter. My Miiverse username is Aeroweth. It's spelled AEROWETH. And I love, I mean, if you send me a friend request and say, like, hey, I listen to Infendo Radio, or if you say, I read the site, I will definitely say yes. So I really like, you know, getting new friends through the site.
That's fantastic. And Colin, I hear you need to catch up on your social networking.
Well, my Twitter account is non-existent, and I can't remember my internet network ID.
Well, yeah, if you don't have a Wii, you don't have a name.
Well, I think you have a name, but I don't think people can, like, friend request you.
Oh, is that? Yeah, no. You don't. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, because it is hooked up to the Nintendo ID now, isn't it? But, you know, yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't join people in the same way.
No.
Which is a shame. So, yeah, you need to get on that, pick up that Wii U, and purely so our readers and our listeners can send you wonderful messages for the show.
I'll work on it, guys.
Fantastic. And you have been listening to Infendo Radio.
See you, guys.
Goodbye.
See you later.